from stpetecatalyst.com.
I'm talking with Charlie Gerdes, outgoing St. Petersburg City Council Chairman.
Good afternoon.
Charlie, when you were elected in 2011, the city was a very different place than it is now. Did you anticipate all the growth that's occurred?
Well, the direct answer is it's far exceeded my expectations. In 2011, when Herb Polson decided not to run again for the seat that I now occupy and am about to depart from, it was a surprise to everybody. Of course, we were in the middle of a recession. And I wanted to make sure that the city didn't crawl up into a ball while the economic clouds were circling, and that we did whatever we could responsibly do to make sure that when times got better, we were ready and we hit the ground running. And I think that's been accomplished in spades, not by me personally, but I've contributed and participated in making sure that happened. But the renaissance of our city has just been beyond my imagination.
What are some of the highlights of the past 8 years for you? What was part of that renaissance that you referred to?
I'll tell you, one surprising thing that I had no idea about was how energetic and enthusiastic our creative class is. And, you know, you think about artists, but musicians and writers and those folks during the recession were probably the core of the Believe in St. Pete group. And, you know, we were lucky enough and smart enough, I think, to continue making some investment in the arts community. And during the recession, you know, the county went to zero, the state went to zero. We were able to maintain, I think it was $175,000-$200,000 of funding that we could do grants and things. And those folks just really, they solidified, you know, a belief and a hope of where St. Petersburg could go. So that was a huge surprise for me. And their entrepreneurialism was contagious. So when storefronts were being left vacant because folks were struggling in the recession and rents went down, they rented those storefronts and they believed that, you know, this was an opportunity for them. And that belief caught on to other businesses. So I think, you know, that's a big part of it. The other thing that I think was a big help was the residence hall at USF St. Pete. Getting a dorm where young people are residing in the downtown area and they're mingling with the millionaires that live in the condos and the nurses and the police officers and the hospitality workers who live in the apartments, I think was a just, you know, an unforeseen magic that gave a lot of energy to the area. And when I say the area, I mean specifically downtown. And so that energy was noticed by others outside of downtown. It attracted folks and it was fun. You know, you could have fun even when times were a little bit tight. And as things got better, the magic got better. So that's a couple of things. But I'm really, really grateful to what I call the creative class in St. Petersburg for being kind of the ones that hung on to hope and, you know, they risked. They had dreams and they wanted to make them come true. And a lot of other people's dreams came along with them.
There's been a lot of focus on downtown, but what about what's happening outside of downtown?
So the rest of St. Pete, I think, you know, I would categorize them in two classes. Folks who wrongfully believe that what's happened downtown has been a city-funded renaissance. That's not true. It's been private money and people who are investing in the city. And so the other class of folks are those who, you know, they have made it a point to check it out and come be part of it. And those folks, I think, understand that it's not tax money. It's not government money that's making this happen. It's the people of the city that are making this happen. You know, I think the folks from my district, very responsible, moderate, you know, single family homes, people who've lived here for a long time and grandparents who are still living in their home that they raised their children in. Very stable, moderate, you know, folks who I think are mostly very happy about where the city is headed. And, you know, the West Side is really the retail center of our city with the mall and all those retail shops and stores that, you know, connect themselves around the mall adjacently and so on. And I give the folks at the mall a lot of credit. They were very agile and flexible during the recession. One of the big things that they were able to do when we came out of the recession was to put a movie theater up. So we have the Cobb 10, which is a wonderful place now at the mall on the west side of St. Petersburg. I will share with you the one kind of thing that I'm leaving left undone there is the Raytheon property that, you know, is across from Azalea Park. I was hoping we could find a productive use for that to get that property back generating some positive energy to the west side. Unfortunately, that's not happened yet, but it will. And, you know, I just really think that the west of 34th Street, I think, is the solid, you know, day-to-day family folks of St. Petersburg, and they can be counted on to help and encourage and attract people to live here. If you drive the Howard Franklin at all, you know, it used to be that all the traffic was going from St. Pete to Tampa. In the last couple of years, it's about equaled out, which brings its own problems, right? But living in St. Petersburg, I think, has become attractive because of the communities that are west of 34th Street. I also will say that in terms of outside of downtown, one of the things that I'm really proud of to have participated in and contributed to is the Community Redevelopment Agency in Midtown. And again, this is something that is innovative and, you know, risky and new. We're not investing in buildings and paint and infrastructure. We're investing in people, workforce development, education, early childhood, those kinds of things. And I think we were maybe one of the first CRAs in the state to take that kind of approach. And the CRA is generating substantially more income than anybody had predicted. So I think that's a good sign that people are buying in and they're believing in what the mission is. So that's all good.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to ask you about one thing that stood out for me in the past few months. The Commerce Park debate over the summer, the city was on the verge of approving a deal with a group of outside investors. And you asked Alan Delisle, the city's economic development director, if he had talked to the Citizens Advisory Committee for the South St. Petersburg Community Redevelopment Area. Those are the people most closely impacted by the project. And Alan said no, and you said, and this quote stands out for me, 2 years ago, I learned that I'm going to stop thinking about Charlie's white privileged background that knows what's best for them, and I'm going to listen to them. If they haven't seen it and weighed in on it, I'm voting no. That quote really stuck with me, Charlie. Was it serving on the council or something else in your life that brought home the concept of white privilege for you and how it's guided your decisions?
It was my service on the council. I mean, I certainly had an appreciation, or maybe not an appreciation is not the right word, an understanding that the African-American community in our city felt like an orphan. But it was my service on city council where, you know, look, we all have our strengths and weaknesses. And one of the things that I've learned in 63 years of life is that what I'm good at is listening. I'm not an idea person. I'm not the person that comes up with ways and things. I'm the person that listens to what's going on and tries to fit ideas together. And what became obvious to me in my first term in office in the first 4 years was solutions and consensus building and discussions about where to head in that community were just on a different dimension than my life history brought to me. And solutions and consensus building that worked in a lot of other environments did not work when it came to that particular community and that area. And it's because their life experience is so disparate from mine. There's a mistrust. There's not a credible joining, if you will, of, you know, what my life peer group would consider to be sensible and justified and all that, because their life experience has been totally different. Once that light bulb went off for me, I thought it was just very important to admit it and to point out that we needed to take a different approach with that community because the lens is different. And my sense of it is there's been a genuine kind of receptiveness to my vulnerability, my admission, and folks are willing to talk to me a lot more candidly than they were before that. And I value that very highly.
You speak often about faith and family. Tell me about the role that plays in your life.
It's the way I was raised. Six children, a mom and dad. I was fortunate enough to have both parents at home. And, you know, my parents did whatever they had to and whatever they needed to and whatever they could do to make sure that our family was cohesive, that we loved one another, and that we were generous with what we had been gifted with. Whether that was time or money or talent, that's just who I am. That's just part of me. I can't dissociate myself from that. I'm very grateful to not just my parents, but my brothers and sisters all bought in, you know? So, and to this day, we get together once a week and have family dinner and, you know, we're all having grandchildren and we're having birthday parties and anniversary celebrations. And, you know, when it comes down to it, our city's a family, right? I mean, the city is not a bunch of buildings and roads and garbage trucks and police cars. The city is the people. And I just think that, you know, the more willing you are to understand that we're all in this together and what helps one person helps another and what hurts one person hurts another, the more we can do that, the better off and the quicker off will be for everyone reaching their dreams. And that's the idea.
Is there something you want to be remembered for, a legacy?
You know, not so specifically, really. Almost everyone that I served with believed in, you know, this deliberative government, that we can have a discussion where we disagree, but it can be a dignified, respectable discussion about the disagreements, trying to find some place to land on. Actually, I've gotten more out of it probably than I've put into it, to be honest with you. I just feel so fortunate to have served with the folks that I've served with and to been a part of, you know, making sure that when the economic sunshine came back, we were ready and here we go. And, you know, the sky's the limit, really. I really believe that. So, you know, there's some things, obviously the pier, the police station, I was able to add on to Abercrombie Park. The Cutler family sold their property to us at a really, really nice price. And we added that property to Abercrombie. That's something that I'll always look back on with a smile. But really what I got out of it was way more probably than what any kind of legacy I've left. So
what's next for you?
Grandchildren. So I had three until Friday. Friday, I had my fourth, and Tuesday, I had my fifth. I've had two grandchildren this week. They're both doing well. The moms are doing well. Yeah, so, you know, I practice law on the side, jokingly. And so I'm going to continue to practice law for a year and a half, 2 years. I'll be 66 in 2021, and hopefully I'll be able to retire and spend time with my grandchildren and do some cool things.
Do you see a return to politics or city service?
I will not return to political office. I have told the mayor that if there's a project or something that I can contribute to in his last 2 years, I'm ready, willing, and able to help. I want this mayor to achieve everything that he set out to achieve, and I want to make sure that whatever I can do to help make that occur, that I'm in on. So there may be city projects or city things, but I never want to campaign again. I never want to beg for money again. I never want to walk miles and knock on doors again. It's hard. It's really hard. The campaigning's way harder than the job.
Let me say thank you for your service. Thanks for being here.
Oh, no, thank you. Glad to be here.
Former St. Petersburg, Florida City Council Chair Charlie Gerdes speaking with St. Pete Catalyst Finance Editor Margie Manning from stpetecatalyst.com.